And free if you like.
Don't see my name back either.
Oh, that's all right. All right. I'd like to call meeting to order at what are we? Eight after? So eight. And we're great.
We're yes, we're recording. Is the sound okay, Robert?
Go ahead.
Yep.
Okay. Item two, roll call.
Okay. Okay, so Wendy excused, Vice Chair Roberts.
Here.
Member Anderson?
Here.
Member B. Miller?
Here.
Member Campos?
Here.
Member Farhat?
Here.
Member Goslin?
Here.
Member Harvey? Excused. Member Hoppes?
Here.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Member Hunsinger?
Here.
Member Moore?
Present.
Member Norton? Excused. Member Quigley?
Here.
Member Sweet?
Here.
And Member White?
Present.
All right, quorum.
Wonderful. Item three, approval of the minutes. Get a or any preliminary comments on the minute?
I thought the minutes were pretty vague.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
Is this the direction we're going for minutes?
Sorry, we could ask that. Is this what minutes are going to look like going forward?
So I will find out. This is a new format. I think I mentioned a few meetings ago that we are using AI to generate minutes. And normally those then get filled in by staff at the office. And I'm not sure if that happened this time. So this may be a new format. I anticipate that they may be ro more robust in the future. And so I could just mention that if you feel like you're not prepared to adopt these minutes because you feel like there's some stuff missing, we could take that back and bring it back to you next month or
Well,
in September because there's no August meeting.
I'm going to say that this attempt is good on with the Castle Valley Mac, and we said no, we need a little bit more information on what
Okay.
was said, and particularly on action items and things that we're working on. When you look through the minutes here, it's pretty vague. I mean, it's not really a lot of there's not a lot in it. And so, I personally want to see what happened in the meeting, and I need to be reminded of some of the comments that come from people. But I don't know. It's up to the group here, but I kind of thought they were kind of vague.
Amen.
Yeah. I want to say I applaud the fact that the county is trying to integrate or leverage AI, or if it's because we're on Zoom, whether it's auto, if it's the built-in one,
I'm not sure.
Otterbot,
Yeah, the
Otterbot.
system they're using.
I would only say to the effect two things. The comment was that they're pretty thin. There's other than they may not have as much context. There's a problem where structurally they don't contain procedure, and if it doesn't contain procedural votes, if there is any question whatsoever regarding procedure, I would move that we do not accept these minutes, and that before we accept the next iteration of minutes, that they must be not checked, but what's the editing pro edited by a human,
And I
so
did
that we
edit. I did
have
edit
that.
them. Yeah, I did edit
Okay.
these, but I don't. My role is to edit what's there on the page, not to go back into the
Which is
recording, which
right,
is
but
the other process
that's a
differently.
structural deficiency, and
Yeah.
so I again applaud the fact that we're augmenting, but that's a big problem.
Agreed. Yeah.
Would it be possible to put prior minutes into the program to learn from? Is that an option available?
Find out. I think that normally our admin staff does do a review and listens to the recording and fills in some of the gaps.
Right.
I don't think that they did that on this occasion.
Yeah.
So I think that that's that, and then the new format are sort of the two things that are happening.
If it will accept an existing mm-hmm. format, though, I mean,
yeah,
it'll do a great job of coming. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. To like train it on our
right.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah. Because something that I think is helpful, at least in past minute format, is, you know, the kind of play by play of who's speaking and I guess I would have expected a little bit more
mm-hmm.
from the AI of being able to pick it up, but I also know that it's, you know, a hard language or transfer
mm-hmm.
because sometimes I'll see the captioning and that doesn't get it quite correct.
Mm. Reminds me of the captioning.
Okay.
So perhaps the way to deal with it is to have no motion at this time and have expect a second set of minutes the next meeting.
Well, they'd have to be resubmitted.
Yeah.
I would motion to continue the minutes until.
To continue the minutes?
Yeah, until we get a little bit more information. I mean, like for me, I had a comment asked about the East Bay Mud, who's using a quarry that is zone agriculture and they're hauling dirt in and out on a regular basis. And requested a little bit more follow up from East Bay Mud. How are they able to continue to do this when you or any of us cannot do it? So I just wondered if that goes anymore. Is that it's falling on deaf ears or, you know, is somebody going to thread this follow up with it? Or?
Well, I think it's a great example. And yeah. Did you give an example of
Castor Valley now?
Yes. So, do you want to just restate the first part of your motion?
The motion would be to continue the minutes until we get our detailed report.
Completed.
Actually,
perfect. Comments. Completed.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
The motion on the floor that your comment is addressing is, do we accept the minutes? And we either have to pass the minutes as is, and or we reject them, and they need to come back with a new addition or modifications. So that's what's on the floor right now.
Okay.
And I put forward to support what you're saying. To be honest, I have a complete lack of confidence. You know, it's AI, and the thing is, it's as good, it's only so good, but the thing is, there will be omissions. If it helps cut the time down for a staff person, great, but still a staff person has to do these checks. Otherwise, facts are missed, strategic things are missed that others in the public need to be aware of that were made in meeting. So I have...
So is this a friendly amendment of a rejection?
Well, there's not a friendly amendment, but I guess I would put on the table that we should reject, not accept the minutes and not pass them as accept, but push them back to staff to be amended, so amended.
So are we asking this to simply don't vote on the minutes and reject them and then take a motion to
kick them back and edit them? Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can bring them back in September.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like done. The room's in agreement, except for on wording, so we'll let staff figure out.
We have to go for the vote first.
So right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
If motion maker, the quote, two motion makers agree to consolidate and bring, because it sounds like.
Right. Yes. I do need
we're
a
all,
motion from
we're all together, and this is a new horse that's come out of the barn called AI, so I think we want to look at it closely as it evolves. I would be if the motion makers are willing to, you know,
yeah,
come together and put the two together. I'd be willing to say
definitely a horse of a different color.
Yeah.
Well, I discovered in using AI for summarizing notes and interviews and stuff with this query really affects outcomes that way. So
sorry, Lynn, can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I've discovered from using AI to summarize interviews and things like that is that the query that you give it is really important. And so they need to improve the query. I tried to do some last weekend. I spent about 2 hours just getting the question right so that it gave me the outcome I wanted. So I don't know how you describe procedural and things like that, but if you can figure it out, you can ask it to do all those.
I think training it on the old minutes is a really good idea.
What?
Training it on the old minutes.
That might work. I don't know. I've never tried that. I've never been trained in how to do that.
No, I mean, I've never
playing around with it.
All right. Well, can I get a singular motion on the floor? I mean, I guess we can reject with no motion. Is that?
Well, that's just it. We just reject it with no motion. Okay. And staff takes back the recommendation. There's so at least, it's just simple. Yeah.
I think you table. I think you just call it table again.
Nana's saying to just table as your
table.
I mean, still got to come back.
Table instructions to staff. I can.
All right. Yeah. Just like, yeah. All right. Any public comments on item three?
I guess the longest we've ever.
I know. We're going this long on minutes. All right.
And Diana, I'm so sorry. Can I revisit the roll call? I'm about to call the ex officio members again. Sorry. I'm not doing that.
Yes, reopening item two.
Sheila Berry. Nano, Elka,
here.
Dawn, or Kathy, and Allie, I'm here.
Wonderful, members are present. All right, closing item two and opening item four, open forum. So any member of the public may address the committee on a matter not on this agenda. No discussion or action may be taken on these items. So I don't know if you have any comment cards for item four. Okay. Anyone in the room want to comment? Anyone online?
No raised hand.
Okay. Then I will close item four and open item five, executive team update, which, since Chair Wente is not here, we have not met as a committee, so I don't have any updates. If anyone else on the executive committee has any executive team updates. Okay. Any public comments on item five?
No raised hands on
item. I assume. Not seeing in the room. And I'll close item five and open item six, pose AAC communications strategy. Hear a presentation and consider authorizing AAC collaboration with Andrew Turnbull to develop and implement an AAC communication strategy with the goal to enhance agriculture and agricultural wisdom and to preserve the ecosystem services of the working landscape. And we have a guest speaker, Andrew Turnbull, who's present.
Right, so
I
just promoted you to panelists.
Yeah, and I just go right into the.
Yeah, well, actually, you should be, you're on Zoom already. So I promoted you, you're on Zoom, right?
Oh, no, I didn't go on Zoom. I just wanted to play it from my screen. Or I can send it to you.
Send it to you, yeah.
So where do I send this?
It looks like you're signed on Zoom. Okay.
No, it's on my
phone. Oh, on your phone.
Yeah, I was trying to hear you guys. And I thought I could hear you, and then I realized I'm hearing you like 2 seconds later. So I went ahead and edited work. And he's an executive suite officer.
Okay. Let's
do
this.
Retired.
Here.
Running out of your property. We'll remember next time.
I don't know if it's exactly.
So it is. Okay. I
just communicate.
It's $1 million. I believe it's 100,000.
All I want to do is put it down the stand. I can suck the water.
No, I just I used to know.
So call everyone back. We're going to revisit item six once he's prepared.
Okay.
And then we'll move. Yeah, we will move on to item seven and revisit item six.
Yes, yeah, we're getting that email.
Okay, so item seven, update to the priority conservation area nominations and approval by Board of Supervisors on July 10th. So from here, it will be going to ABAG, which is, oh, quickly, you're gonna have to remind me.
Association of Area Governors.
Yeah, I can give a quick update on this.
She's the expert.
on July 10th, the board approved the nominations that your committee put forth of the South Bay Aqueduct Trail and the trail connectors in the working landscape area of your northeast part of the county, north of Interstate 580. Those are going to go to ABAG for adoption in September, and they're planning to release a call for proposals for the grant funding that's available in October. So I will definitely come back to you when that call for proposals comes out. So if your committee wants to start thinking about what you might want to apply for.
So it was approved.
It was approved by the board. Yay, congratulations. Yes. And it will be, you know, it will be eventually, exactly, adopted by ABAC. So, right. That is my update.
Congrats, Dick.
And there's a big, a large bucket of money for grants over, I think it's a 5-year period. Ellie, is that right?
So there is one grant cycle that, their grant cycles are every so often, but it was like maybe 3 years they'll release grant funds. It's been at a quicker cadence. So it's been in the last 2 years, they've released like $8 million each year in the last 2 years. I don't know when the next time will be. This is going to be $8 million for this cycle. Yeah, it's great.
It's a pretty good chunk of change that we've kind of teed up the ball. So I'm excited.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Any public comments on item seven, ECA nominee?
I do not see any raised hands.
Not seeing any in the room.
Yeah, no raised hands online. So,
good to go. Are we ready to revisit item six?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah, you can run it.
There we go.
My name is Andrew A. Turnbull. I'm a resident of Alameda County, and I'll talk about a little bit more about myself in a minute. But I've been asked to come and present to you about developing and implementing an agricultural advisory committee communication strategy, with the goal to enhance agriculture and agricultural lands and to preserve the ecosystem services in the working landscape. If you can go to the next slide, I'd like to introduce myself so that you understand why I might be qualified to do this. So I was raised in Livermore in the 60s and 70s. I did my undergrad and my graduate school here in Alameda County. I was a cat herder in tech for about a quarter of a century. What that means is titles like program manager, pushing projects in the Silicon Valley from engineering out to production. So I'm kind of used to working with a lot of different personalities. That's why I call myself a cat herder. And it turns out my current job, which I'll describe in a minute, is once again cat herding. I've been at Sunoleum since 1999. I bought a home there. The reason I bought a home there is because I already bought a horse in Sunol, and I was living in over in Silicon Valley. Driving over the hill every day to see my horse, and I went, wait a second, he's living better than me. I'm going to fix this. So I moved to Sunol. While I've been in Sunol, I developed a newsletter called Inform Sunol. If you live in an area with 922 people as your population, your geography is nearly twice the size of San Francisco, and you're surrounded on four sides by cities of 80,000 or more, there's no logical reason why that should exist. It exists because Alameda County wants it to exist. But it also exists because the people of Sunol need to stay united. And so I took a lot of guidance from some really strong activists that before me, Sunol has a history of activism to protect itself and to hold on to its rural nature. And what I could offer was my journalism, because I'm pretty good at journalism. And so I decided to start Inform Sunol. I also have a separate piece that's my opinion called My View from Main Street. I happen to live on Main Street, and I have a view, but I also have a lot of views, if you will. I host a Zoom talk show that is seen around the world called IHF Live. I interview some of the most important people in relationship-based horsemanship, including Linda Pirelli, Warwick Schiller, Dr. Robert M. Miller. I've had PhD scientists who are experts in horsemanship. And our whole point is to continue covering the revolution in horsemanship and what it means to mankind, which is a book title by Dr. Robert Miller written about 15 years ago. Anyway, what we do is by having it on Zoom, it can be watched around the world for free. And I had to move it to 5 o'clock on the West Coast so that our friends in Nova Scotia, Canada, could watch it before they go to bed. It starts at 9, they're done by 10:30. But then we started finding out that depending on who I bring on the show, they're not there to see me. They're to see whoever I'm interviewing. And for example, when I brought Dr. Miller before he passed, we had people getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning in Poland. We have people getting up at, well, they don't have to get up in Oceania because it's 10 o'clock in the morning in Australia. And we very commonly have people from New Zealand, all across the United States. So the reason why I did that was because relationship-based horsemanship makes up about 3 to 5% of the horse industry. We have a ginormous horse industry out there. And in fact, the numbers would blow away most of you. It tends to blow away our elected officials when I tell them what the numbers are, when I get them from the American Horse Council in Washington, D.C. Fortunately, I had a relationship with Julie Broadway, who runs that organization, and she actually sends me the California numbers, and they're pretty amazing. But we're the seventh largest county in California. What do you think that our contribution is to that? Pretty high. And so even the horse industry right here in Alameda County is probably not understood well enough about what the huge impact that it has. Now, I promote something called relationship-based horsemanship based on the revolution, but that's because my horse and I have had a spectacular relationship. Sonny just turned 29 years old. He's been my partner for 20 years. And he's got something on he doesn't usually have, and that's a halter. He's usually playing with me at Liberty, and I often ride him out on the trails with nothing on his head. That's not to brag, but that's a process. That's a process that took a long time, 20 years, in fact, to get that kind of relationship. Not everybody's going to go for that relationship, but a lot of people would love to have a relationship, of course. So I feel really strongly about that. In fact, I feel strongly enough about that that I'm the vice president and executive director of the International Horsemanship Foundation. It's a nonprofit. I'm paid to be their executive director, and we are promoting relationship-based horsemanship everywhere. Thank you for taking a couple of minutes to listen about me, because if I'm going to provide a service to you like I'm about to describe, you got to know who I am. Thank you. And we move on to the next one. We might have to go back to
I'm
that.
I'm going to have to keep doing that. Sorry.
Yeah. Here you go.
There we go.
So what's the benefit of a communications approach that we might take on behalf of all of you and behalf of Alameda County Ed? We want to inform the public of the work that you guys do. We want to develop other communication partners. You would have me as a partner, but then again, we're going to have some other partners, and I'll talk about that on another screen. Provide a communications infrastructure within our organization, your organization. I'm really a service to you if you choose to accept my offer. Provide a communications infrastructure to promote the enhancement of agriculture and agricultural lands. And I would be a service to you, and you would provide oversight to me. Next. Well, so some proposed subjects that hopefully ring true with you, and by the way, we're going to open it up a little bit for you to whatever comes to your mind that might make sense to add to this. But we can have a series of stories that answer the who, what, when, where, and why of what is this organization? What does it do? What is the status of agriculture in Alameda County today? We can explore your work product, either by a position, like each one of your groups, right? Or we can do it by perhaps your subcommittees. Next, a lot of people wonder about how does Measure D impacted agriculture? I'll bet everybody around this table has an opinion on that. I know I do too. I've been here since before Measure D came into play. What are the ecosystem services and how do we create a market? To that end, there's some opportunities that I understand having talked to some members of this committee where you might be able to work together and create an ecosystem of the different ag groups and what you're doing, and even create a market where Alameda County Ag might even create revenue as a group, okay? Now, I am not the expert there, But there is one sitting among you, and we'll leave that to that person in a minute. Other topics as suggested. And I'm going to come back to that as we get to the Q&A. Okay? The next step. So I told you I'd talk about potential partners. So we're not going to go this alone, but Tri-Valley Community Television, Melissa Tinch Stevens, I met her before, but we would have to get engagement. As you know, I do a Zoom talk show, and that talk show then is recorded and it's on YouTube. But perhaps you can tell by now I'm an extrovert, and I have no trouble being up on TV, and I'd be interviewing and talking about Alameda County Act. Newspaper columnist, collaborating with them, Tim Hunt. I remember Tim Hunt. I grew up with Tim Hunt. I'm from Livermore in the 60s and 70s. And there's a lot of others. In fact, I already collaborate with them on Informed Sinal. The independent newspaper, we could possibly have a column, an ag column to promote ag in Alameda County. And of course, Mayor Equestrian Network, obviously, I'm going to have a bias for the horse, but it turns out that I got a lot of friends. My friend Tim Copeman, when I moved here 26 years ago, every time we went to the post office to say, Tim, could you teach me something about cattle ag? And he gave me a little lesson. Over 26 years, I got pretty good at understanding cattle. And he asked me about horsemanship. So that's pretty cool. But so I have a strong interest in learning about ag. And in fact, that offers the opportunity for me to be an interested person asking the questions. But we have lots of other organizations that we can partner with. Yes. So the summary is to remind you at the beginning what we started with, which was develop and implement an Alameda County or the Alameda County Agriculture Advisory Council, LIAs and C's, communication strategy with a goal to enhance agricultural lands and preserve the ecosystem services for the working landscape. We'll take that as a beginning mission statement. And now I'm going to turn it over to you. What questions do you have? What answers might come from inside the room? And what action items might we take on my offer to you? Thank you for your respect and attention. May the horse be with you.
Thank you so much. If we could recognize, we go now. Jack Norton.
Yep.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm like, I thought you'd walk in. As being present.
Yes. Noted. Perfect. That is present.
And then I will open up the room for questions.
I have a question. So what is included in a communication strategy?
The communication strategy?
Yeah. What does it mean?
Well, so far, this is what we have. So what this does is it says, here's a framework. And then based on the feedback that we get here tonight and the commentary, we would shape this to serve the committee. I'll just put it right out there to the elephant in the room. I know everybody in this room is always concerned about journalists. Most people are, because they have a lot of power. I know I have a lot of power when I'm a journalist. However, I have to be really careful with that because I can have that power taken away from me by abusing it. If informed Sinol were to become not serving to the community, community would vote me out. If I'm not going to serve you, you're going to vote me out. I'm here to serve you because I care about Alameda County Ag, especially horse ag, and I'm your resident. So if you have any concerns about the fact that here you are delegating to somebody who's going to be exposing a lot about you guys, it's as a service. And I make that commitment to you because I'm a resident of Alameda County and I'm gonna live here a long, long time. And my word is that I'll be a service to you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Andrew's provided us a couple of suggestions regarding oversight or providing oversight or our relationship with him. One has been to consider subject matter on a per position basis of the Agricultural Advisory Committee. And so that's something that we might consider doing where each of us just puts down potential subject matter. He's suggested a few topics to get started, and I think those are worth considering. But ultimately, trying to have a relationship with him as a committee could be difficult. So if we look at the existing organizational structure, we have two resources available to us. One is the chair and the vice chair of the Agricultural Advisory Committee to shepherd and develop that relationship with Andrew initially. I personally think that could be a really good way to go. But then we have an outreach committee as well. And I think the outreach committee has a role with this, both with figuring out how to work with us and work with the chair, but also in figuring out how to go the other direction. And I think this committee should explore the parameters that have kind of been presented to us. We've had parameters that have addressed, you know, topics, but, you know, we do have a process for having final work that's done that is the product of the Agriculture Advisory Committee. Sometimes it's review of background documents, and sometimes it's work that's being presented to the Board of Supervisors. A lot of the trails work that's being done is an example of material that's ripe for presentation. The Equine Subcommittee's work has an existing document along with it and names that are associated with it. So that's another example. So I think we have a lot of ways to kind of move forward with it, but figuring out who's going to be responsible with shepherding, I think is really important.
I'm kind of lost, Larry. Measure D set aside services within the...
speak a little level.
Measure D set aside services within the committee, agriculture, rangeland, whatever, across the board. And it's a responsibility, I would think, since these positions are appointed by the supervisor. And I think it's the responsibility of the person that is appointed by the supervisor. Like for me, I'm an agriculture, I'm the equestrian. I have an incredible, great relationship with Dave Halpert, Nate Miley, Lisa Marquez,
sure,
Russell. And if you're an appointed person, then you should have a relationship with your supervisor and get things done. I can just tell you that right now in Castro Valley, we're looking at working with the entire county and removing SDRs on equestrian facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, things like that, we do ourselves. I don't think we need an outside body to involve in that. I'm just kind of lost at this. I welcome the fact that someone wants to be on a committee, sign up and take one of the seats that are available and join in. But to go to an outside resource, I don't think we have the power to do that, and certainly don't have the financial resources if any are required. And so I'm kind of lost at this direction of this presentation because I don't get it. I'm sorry, but I'm sitting here going, you know, what is this about? I would expect Ms. Beemuller to have a relationship with Dave Halpert on the appointment that she'll have. You don't need a third party going in and talking to Dave about the issues that are coming up in this ag committee. I don't like bureaucracy, period. You know, and I like to go straight to where there's a problem and try to get it resolved. So I've kind of lost it where we're going with this. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to me, but it's not my program. So.
I know, but you were
kind of
advocating for some of it, sound like to me, and I was sitting here, I'm kind of lost.
Go ahead. Maybe to add clarity to that, what I'm not wasn't sure on, Andrew, was what's the audience for this communication strategy? So is it primarily, I mean, because Chuck's kind of talking like we need to talk to the supervisors, but is it the public? What general public? Is it the ag community? Who are we trying to communicate? Who's the strategy with?
Yeah, if you went back to the slide where I talked about who would be working with, it's very external. It's far beyond the supervisors. We're talking about 1.9 million people in Alameda County that don't know what is going on in there. And if you think that there's a benefit, that's a huge side for your work to be exposed to more people, then you might want somebody working specifically on it. I'm told that some among you do.
Say
otherwise,
that
I wouldn't have done some work.
I didn't hear you said you understand that there's some funds available. Is that what you said? I missed the statement.
No, there are people among us who are asking for this service.
Oh, really?
Okay. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't sign up and make up all this to, you know, I already have an international talk show.
No, I know.
Somebody wanted my help in Alameda County, and I'm here to help in Alameda County.
Okay, so I'm still struggling a little bit. Am I interrupting somebody because I'll be quiet?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we're trying to reach the general public, the 1.9 million people in Alameda County, about ag in general and the benefits of agriculture and the ecosystem services that come from agriculture. So in other words, we'd be saying one of our functions might be to communicate more about the benefits of agriculture. So that could be something that we decide to do, I don't know, as a committee, I don't know about that, but I don't think anybody, I mean, I agree, that would be a nice thing to do. An important thing to do. I'm not sure how it all works. I'll say that. I mean, I don't think the general public wants to be exposed to our work, but I think they need to be exposed to what we're trying to benefit and save, right? That I agree with.
Yeah, I think the difference between how the hot dog is made, but they'd like to know about the hot dog.
Well, if they knew about more about the hot dog, they might care more about how it's made.
There you go.
I think that
getting hungry again.
In my opinion, that's key. And for you know, being around some of the mission bullets that this committee looks at. Water and energy and, you know, parks and trails are three of my favorite. And the public needs to know, in my opinion, some of the things that we're doing. Our supervisor is really interested in floods and had some town halls, Andrew, in Sanola, and because it's flooded out down there. You know, we need water to certainly, you know, feed our crops, because crops grow and grapes grow where water flows, or you can get it to it. But when it comes in unprecedented amounts during, you know, atmospheric rivers, which are becoming seemingly more frequent, and Sanol is at the end of the trough. I know that there is a significant interest in water in two ways. One, you know, getting it from the Delta, and you know, the Delta Conveyance Project is something I may talk a little about, given the opportunity, but also flood. And the landscape it comes through is our agricultural eastern Alameda County. That said, to get it to the public, whether, you know, like for some of the trails we're working on in my trail group last night, we had a great meeting, but we need to, we somehow, I think, we, and you guys were there, we need to get it to the public and to other partners that might help us move the needle of what we want to do, where we want to move the needle. It's a kind of there. How do we get there? We identify it in each of the areas we're working on, you know, be it energy or crops or vineyards,
rain
water, and we make a plan and they execute. We're not very good executors, but we can shove it, bucket up to the Board of Supervisors, because I think that's our charter, that's our mission. And if the Supervisors have the political capital, maybe sometimes, you know, to bucket in a direction, you know, to get funding and execution, that's the way I see it. And, you know, be it in fire suppression, our committee, one of the members at the table last night at our meeting, he talked about CAL FIRE and how it could, we hadn't thought about it before. And we need to roll that and think about it more.
What about?
Oh, I don't have to. I don't want to cough on a tangent. That was a teaser.
Go talk more and then.
I don't want to outspeak my welcome.
Go ahead.
Another thing is that you open the door for somebody to ask a simple question. How many people went to the fair this year?
Sorry, didn't
you have the fair this year?
How many people went to the fair?
How many people attended the auction for the kids at the fair?
I didn't buy anything.
Okay. What I'm trying to make a point is, this is the ad committee, and we're not nailing the fair down. Grace, you were there because I saw you.
I went to see those pictures of kids.
And did you see, did anybody tour and see the farm?
Yes. The Safeway Barn?
Yeah. That's a $6 million project to brag about agriculture in our county that we should be really engaged with, because we're going to be trucking in kids from schools all over our county to see this project. And it's just in the beginning stages. And, you know, I was just talking about maybe next year before the fair starts, we have our meeting at the fairgrounds. Because if you want to brag about agriculture, that is an agriculture fair. And we really need this group here to have a presence. And you know, you don't have to buy the animal, but bid it up a little bit. So it's a kids get some money, you know what I mean? But the point is we have avenues, and we're just not nailing them and as well as we could. And I think that, you know, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I really, if you haven't seen the farm, you need to get out there and see it, because that is the beginning of a huge project. Orange County has one.
I just went last week to Orange County.
What did you think of that?
It's beautiful. It is. I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what we're trying to do in Alameda County. So yeah, they had so many different crops and so many demonstration sections, and it was all very walkable. And man, it was barely not walkable because of how many people were in it. So it was, yeah. I'd love to have something like that.
What I'm trying to say is, damn, we have an avenue here, you know, to brag about our agriculture. We just need to take advantage of it and you know, and get in there and engage. But I'm kind of lost. You know, I welcome that if you want to join this committee and participate, but as an outside resource to go speak for me, I don't need anybody speaking for me. I go right to the supervisor when I have an issue, and or I work on it with a group. But I think we should all have a relationship with our supervisors. They put up tons of money.
All right. I'm reminded by the old saying, out of sight, out of mind, and that's what agriculture is in this county. What Andrew is proposing is a way of bringing up awareness. Now, it's a diamond in the rough, perhaps. Chuck's bringing up another way. Talk to your supervisor. It's all good. We need to raise awareness, and that's what's being proposed. How we do it is what needs to be worked out further. But that's the problem here. We are not known. And until we raise the awareness of horses and trails and agritourism and land use policy, we're going nowhere. We're just talking among ourselves.
Tracy. I have two questions. One, for Andrew, is there a fee involved in your services?
No.
That's good. You
don't have my service.
That's very kind. And second, I'd like to know what Bill thinks being on the outreach.
Yeah, I haven't seen it here, listened to it all. And, you know, it's good to say I have a great relationship with my supervisors. And if we all had great relations with our supervisors, then we would need to this. But it's obviously, the agriculture is like a mystery to most people. We all don't have a good relationship with our supervisors, and we're not doing. So congratulations to you. Keep it up. But we're not all there. We're not all where you are. And I'm going, you know, I've been doing the outreach committee, and it's been like a total bust. Most of it's been because I haven't put a ton of effort into it. I put some effort into it. We did a couple of early initiatives with state agencies that absolutely went nowhere. And that was very frustrating. So, you know, you need to get the word. You know, we got a great program out at Alameda County Fair. No word went out on it. If we have somebody who's willing to pick that up and has the skill, has the SKAs, be able to get the word out on that thing. Hey, we got a great program at the Alameda County Fair. What do we need? A press release? We need to organize visits. Somebody's willing to do that. I think it's great.
I need to pick up the paper.
Solution I would suggest, you know, if he's willing, you know, I'm certainly willing to give up the responsibilities of the outreach committee. If he would like to step in and join this committee in that role, I think what I've heard from him is he would be a good fit. He's very experienced in going. It, because I'll be honest with you, my level of effort on that and the things I've tried are not really going anywhere. So I suggest a more experienced person who's willing and able to step in and better fill that role than I can. So that's my suggestion.
If, Karen?
I would just like to add to the picture. Yes, it's always great to have another volunteer and new expertise to come into the fore, but I just want us all to go home realizing if we look at everybody in this room who serves on a committee, serves on a board, is in education. Sheila's got a newsletter. FFA's got some great outreach to the other students. The RCD's got out. So all we have a lot of agencies and organizations with their own outreach to do their thing. What we don't have is that center hub that ever interfaces. And one note I wrote down here was, you all don't know who some of those folks are that do act. That never, they've never had a reason to come to this committee, so you don't know what they do. They don't know what we do. So even within our other voluntary kind of community, there's a lot going on. But most of the effective outreach is when there's staff money available to do newsletters, to do workshops, to do the fancy press releases, the tours, I mean, all of which we could do if we had money too. But I'd say we have a network of agriculture in this community. If they were working together, that your staff and her tour and her ag community of landowners, we can make those things happen. But we just don't have that hub. And for years and years, I've wanted to figure out how to do it. Monterey County has a council of agriculture. It's not a policymaker. It's a place where all these organizations come together. I don't know how often, and they're the ones who get involved in doing festivals and those kinds of things. So I don't want us to leave this room thinking there's nothing going on in ag outreach. It's just that everybody's got a separate plan, separate audience, and a separate means of getting there, and we just don't all hear about it from one another.
So we need more collaboration.
Collaboration would be wonderful. And one way we could do that is bring in some of these different groups in to just get acquainted. One at a time or something.
I'd like to comment.
Go ahead.
I accept that I guess your presentation, some of the ideas that presented, such as leading the subcommittee or participating in the subcommittee, seemed like there wasn't a lot of pushback, like it was generally the board was amenable to that. I'm not sure if that was something you had in mind, but does that sound like something you'd be interested in doing, such as what Bill had proposed, leading the outreach subcommittee? It sounds like it kind of aligns with what you want to do, is already a part of our framework.
Well, I heard what he said, and I understand this frustration. Because I'm so new to your organization, I mean, I know a lot about one thing, that's horses, right? And I do have a great relationship with David Hubbard. I'll let him tell you whether that's true or not. But I believe I do. I know his daughter, I know his wife, we're friendly. And he also knows that I can tell him my opinion and we can have a debate. As far as the domain knowledge, I would rather he hold on to his role
and I would be a service to him than to take on that role as a first response. As to the response to his issue as to whether I'm an outsider or an insider, I have no trouble becoming an insider. If you didn't get a message from me about who I am and how committed I am to Alameda County, I'm a homeowner here, I'm a horse owner here, I'm very committed to Alameda County, I'm committed to ag. And if that means that you guys need me to be on an insider, define it, and I'll let you know if it fits. I'm here in service.
Last comment? Okay.
Yeah, so as we've discussed this, you know, what I've actually heard from almost every person who commented is a reason to have somebody like Andrew working with our established structure.
Yes.
And it may evolve into something else over time, but right now our established structure is getting quite a bit done. And, you know, it's not visible to everybody because we're divided into committees that are doing that work. And, but within those committees, I think there's a momentum that's developing that is going to result in quite a bit of work coming forward soon. So what I would suggest they could work based on concerns is we have to see how we can have Bill do his work to evaluate the potential of this and an interface, have our executive team, Carl and Diana, participate and provide oversight without violating the Brown Act in the next month, and having all of us have sequential meetings with Diana or Bill. And I think what we could have come back to us then as a report regarding the potential of this concept, you know, Andrew's concept, and see if we can move forward with it. I just think we are a remarkably small percentage of the population. We speak to ourselves quite a bit, and I feel like I'm connected to the outside community pretty well. And what I can say is that our message has not reached the outside community in the 44 years that I've lived in Alameda County. So I've been actively engaged. I make my living from agriculture, always have. And we are not communicating with the public at large.
So that's an interesting statement. You say our message hasn't reached the outside community. I think part of the reason is, what's our message?
Yeah.
until you're clear about what your message is, you know, you're not going to be able to communicate it well because you don't know what the hell to communicate. So I think that's the bigger challenge of the group is to define, you know, sure, we want to enhance agriculture. I think we all agree to that. What does that look like? You know, I think we all have a different opinion of what that looks like. And then to be able to come to some sort of unity on that subject is probably that's our first, should be our first goal. And then communicating it should be the next goal. But without the first, it doesn't do any good to have a communicator if you don't know what the hell to communicate.
Right.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, I know we've talked about it quite a bit, both in committee, I want to say 2 and 3 years ago, more so. We've really been focused on process last year and a half and moving agenda forward. I think that a communication strategy, and this is one channel or outlet or a primary channel or outlet, is always a good thing. That's not the question for me. The question comes down to, it's not the message of this organization. It has to do with awareness and efficacy of the presence and significance of ag in the county. Now, that's not a message that has to do with presence and import, matter of import or importance.
It's advocacy.
It would be
per se advocacy, and we initially, I want to say 3 years ago, really started off and had directed to outreach. And I want to say there are two other committees. I know Carl both did a series rounds either by himself or with one or two others with Larry and or another committee, which may escape my mind right now. But it has to do with supervisor priorities or the board's priorities, where ag is not seen, whether it's from a budgetary standpoint, either as a revenue driver, therefore it doesn't have the same degree of import as other things do. And so where does that fall? Doesn't matter how much we want to communicate or whatever our message may be, we could carve something out and use communications to do that. Any Instagram account or influencer is testament to that. To me, that's not the point. The question is, that's just one, again, communication strategy. The question is, are we as a committee, not that we don't have efficacy, but are we not advocating well enough or frequently enough, both to our supervisors for them to pick up the ball and to somehow, I don't know through what measures, you know, they may mention agriculture. I know we have an agriculture day or even urban agriculture day. There's some kind of set of activities, but somewhere that's where, in my estimation, over this past 4 years or 3 years on this committee, 4 years, not the ball gets dropped, but the message that even ag exists in the county and what it's doing. Where's the talk about food and the relationship to that or any other of the other aspects of ag that doesn't seem to be promoted as ag? And that's where I think, not that we're losing as a committee, but we don't have that degree of panache, je ne sais quoi, I don't know, pick another foreign word that sounds important. Yeah, well, cache. We just don't have that particular, or ag, not we, but ag doesn't seem to have that sense of influence within the county.
Well, isn't that the message we do not have?
I'm not against at all an advocate that's going to speak for agriculture. But when you look at the group, it's a pretty fragmented group. The wine industry has a whole different set of needs than the horse industry. And when you start looking at all the different wants and needs of it, you get down to the real problem that agriculture faces today, believe it or not, is Measure D. When you look at the wine industry that cannot have a hotel without some combining of properties to do it, or you look at the horse industry that has to go through an SDR program that's a nightmare to for a lot of the horse facilities, or you look at estate planning where people have 100-acre minimums, and you look at it, and they have three kids. The three kids move out of state, or two of them do, because only one of them can afford to take over the ranch or the farm. I mean, there's a lot of problems with agriculture, and a lot of it gets back to a very old program that was put in place by all of the voters in the county, and that's Measure D. Take a look at, if you talk, get down to the nitty-gritty with the folks that are landowners and operators, a wine facility that had an ability to have a weddings or have weddings there would enhance the program and they could have a better wine facility. I mean, there's so many things that you need to make agriculture work. That's beyond growing grapes or raising horses to make it work. And our hands are tied every time you turn around with what's going on with Measure D. So until we really look at the elephant in the room and you talk to the landowners and what's going on, they will tell you the challenges are built. I mean, am I right?
Yeah, Measure D is a problem.
Yeah, I mean...
So we come right back to public awareness, and that's what we're trying to advocate for. Yeah. The people have to come down Measure D.
All right.
I think many, I've been on this table for a year and a half, almost 2 years. And I think my little travel group uses agritourism because the connectors go through the agriculture vineyards and farms sometimes, waterways, top of bank, aqueducts, lakes. That's what we do. We go into we're trying to go into another county. But agritourism, I've been working this for decades and visit Tri-Valley is kind of key. And having been out to your house a couple weeks ago, looking at your wedding venue, and I personally believe that, you know, all the ag people that I know, and I rode horses between the two counties or three counties for 30 years, and then looking at their back doors and friendly gates off trails, and yeah, the through ranch Portage gates where there was raising units, the landowners want to do different things. Some like windmills on their farm. Some have multiple wells and catch ponds. That's, you know, some grow pistachios, some grow grapes, some grow truffles, some grow strawberries. It's diversified. The public and the kids at schools, I believe, want to go out and see that. That's why the county farm is such a blessing. But some there's some farmers that, you know, on trails, I think will allow like a toll trail to visit their party, their area, and the wine people do it because, I mean, we have over 50 wineries, 52.
I'm writing more.
They're going down. Okay, but a lot of wineries. And every winery that you know, I've talked to the owners, you know, some of them want horses to come up. Some of them rent bikes, some of my wine owner friends. And so it's diversified. The problem that I see, my friend Tim Hunt, I've known him for 50 years, and David Jen, who works for independent, they want stories that come out of this group. They really do. Both of them, and as well as Andrew, I think we're missing an opportunity if we somehow don't do it. David, I think everybody at this table probably gets David's, you know, weekly or twice monthly blurb. And we can put our stuff with that or with other blurbs. Some of the table, you know, be they wineries, have their own website. They're marketing something because, you know, we want to build a dollar and then double or triple it. That's kind of what we want to do. My thoughts, but agritourism, yeah, and visit Tri-Valley is key.
Well, thank you very much, Tim.
Maybe a little quick cough, but I do want to wrap up.
I just wanted to wrap this up by saying we all know we need awareness for the ag industry, period, and all the different sectors and whatever's coming around. I don't necessarily think we need to put out a newsletter about what our committees are doing.
Right.
I don't think that's going to take a big, and that would just
huge.
It's all about content and copy, you know, and what you're getting. Distribution channels, that's easy to come up with. But you really need more of a little strategic, you know, plan. And you can start simple. It can start with baby steps, but just get, I mean, Carl even said, let's just at least get to a supervisor meeting once a quarter, right? I mean, and that might be one of the first steps on a strategic plan. But if Bill is willing to work with Andrew and come up with a little more, flesh it out a little more, a strategic plan, then I think it'd be great for them to bring it back at our September meeting. Or
Mint Molly does have an ad meeting once a quarter.
Say again?
Mint Molly does have an ad meeting once a quarter.
And then we can present that.
Who I didn't hear him.
Nate Miley.
Nate Miley.
Oh, Nate Miley.
As an IB.
Anyway, that's what I just wanted to say as far as wrapping it up. Is
well, that's
we all
wonderful.
Need awareness.
I think that was going to be my proposal as well. So I guess I don't necessarily think we need a motion of any kind. But I guess, Bill, if you're amenable to that,
sure.
And Andrew, I can't quite see you. So.
Oh, yeah.
But whether you would be willing to work with our outreach committee to kind of workshop some ideas of how outreach could happen.
Sure. If that's what William would like.
Schedule it out and go simple. Start simple.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely heard a couple of things from the committee just in terms of the what. And I think that would be a good thing to flesh out is what do we want.
And the who.
And the who
gets it.
And the who. Yes, the audience as well. So, yeah.
Well,
we could bring
the other thing though is you mentioned the guidance from the chairs and the vice chair may be just as important too, because
yes. Oh, yeah.
You guys are in a position, and you know, I've in the Silicon Valley, I worked for a lot of bosses, so I don't have a big issue with chain of command.
Well, you don't want all eight of them.
But at the same time, I don't want to work for everyone in this room where they're telling me what to do. I'm going to need to have some point guidance or a smaller guidance. Not that I don't want to help serve. I would love to serve everybody. But even as we heard today, just to give you some feedback, obviously, as I think Jerry articulated very well, you know, what's the mission? And I happen to be management consultant. I happen to write mission statements. And so I understand what he's talking about. And it would be helpful, perhaps whether you have me around to do it or not, is to continue that discussion. What exactly are you guys all agree? Because what I heard was that, and maybe the room is moot. Discussion. Right, maybe the room is moved more to supporting this, because the first statement from Chuck was, why do we need this? I don't get it. But maybe we're at a point where you guys want to welcome me to do more work. And if that's what you do, I'm happy to do more work. I'm happy to work with William, and I'm happy to work with the chair and the vice chair.
Wonderful. I think that sounds like a good path forward. And if you could for September, I think.
For clarity, is this something like when we have something coming up, Dick Snyder, who was an Arthur Puncher D, would participate like in the solar deal? Dick was an outside person, joined in solar,
yeah,
helped us a little bit. So this is the kind of role that we expect this gentleman to have with him.
I understand that.
In a consulting capacity, and I mean, I
had three questions.
Yes, I guess that is the other thing that, you know, I'd love to kind of get defined is how much time you're willing to donate, because that, you know.
Right.
That's,
By the way, I'm really glad that you're not buying this hook, line, and sinker without it being more defined, because I'd be scared if these guys, yeah, Andrew, go. Right. I'd rather see you guys be thoughtful about how you want to do this, because yeah, I got other jobs, but I care about helping County Ag, and I like doing this stuff. So thank you for asking that. I don't know the answer.
But that, yeah, that's okay. Well, we appreciate you being here, and yeah, I appreciate the discussion. So it sounds like you've got a path forward. Bring back to this committee in September with some proposals of what this could look like. All right. Any
question of staff?
Thank you. Question of staff, there you go.
Yeah, so Bill has the authority to expand his committee as in any direction you want. You can expand up to a not quite a quorum within the committee itself. And also you can expand outside of this committee. So how many people can Bill talk to from within the committee?
From within the committee.
Without violating Brown Act.
Seven.
Okay.
No. Seven voting members.
Seven voting members.
Yes.
True. So you can talk to ex officio members.
and the entirety of the rest of the world.
So it,
yeah, and everybody else.
List of we can talk to, you know, speak now.
No, for clarity, go for the Brown Act. That would be anybody on that committee, correct? I'll say so.
It would include the committee. That
well, can, yeah, what? Because everybody that's on that committee would be limited to that group. I mean,
well, the committees are at.
I can have a conversation with
yes.
this group about, hey, what's going on? You know, can we?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That would be a Brown Act violation.
Right. That would be a serial meeting. So, you know, somebody on that's selected by William cannot then have a discussion with their little horse group or trails group
right.
and then carry that back to William.
Right.
That's absolutely.
And that's the challenge you have sometimes.
Right.
We just had 2.5 hours of Brown Act training. So
the way we've done it in the past is to include the chair or the vice chair as shepherds of the process. You know, they can do the county if needed if Bill needs help with that.
Excellent. Next. All right. Any public comments on this item?
See no raised hands online. And just for clarity, there's you're not taking any action on this tonight, and we're bringing it back with extra detail and some fewer conversations with fewer than 7 committee members September.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, one question. Do my slides become part of the minutes?
I will see how I can incorporate them, but I can definitely send them around.
Yeah, I'd like everybody to be able to look at them.
Yes, sure. I will make a note.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Item 8, brief subcommittee reports.
Yeah, can we go back here? Item 6 is an action item. So.
Item 6 is listed as an action.
It is.
We have not taken action.
Tabled
the size of recommendation to come back.
Continued
until September.
All right. We'll make sure.
Like the minutes.
Yeah. I might have closed item 7, so I'll close item 6 instead. Okay. Back to item 8, membership committee. We have some updates.
Yes. Okay. So, Allison, by chance, do we have Marilyn Harvey on
Zoom? She had family emergencies.
Okay. Because one of the first things here was to update you that Marilyn Harvey's appointment from the Board of Supervisors has been approved. And so, hopefully, she'll be here next meeting. She's in the Resource Conservation District position. And but looking again at everybody's timetable, I'm going to ask, I did confirm that Bill would like to continue on this committee, and so I move that we submit his appointment to the Board of Supervisors for reappointment.
Second.
All right, vote. Let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you, Bill.
I really enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to being
good to have you back.
Putting you to work.
And then the next item is that I would like to reintroduce to you Grace Sullivan, who has more officially submitted her application for the Young Producer seat, number 19. And her application did not get, I can't remember if we had it once upon a time. I did think we did. It did not get out in their packet this time, but she is becoming a public speaker. She's going to introduce herself, her school, and how busy she has been this summer in agriculture, practicing agriculture, and kind of why she thinks she wants to come spend a few hours a month with us.
Welcome, Grace.
Hi, my name is Grace Sullivan. I'm from Palo Verde Canyon, and I'm 16 years old, and I'm going to be a junior at Carmelite High School in Concord, where I've been a member of the honor roll for the last 2 years, and I am going to be the treasurer and president at Palo Verde 4-H in Castro Valley, and I have been showing lambs since I was 9 and cattle since I was 11, which is where I've taken my particular interest in, even though I still show both. I showed 2 steers and a heifer this year, and like Ms. Sweet said, I kind of spent my whole summer doing it. I showed at the I showed a steer at the Alameda County Fair. And then right after I got home, I went on state fair showing a market heifer, and I took reserve in my division. And I'm going to another show next week with another steer in hopes of doing well. And
so why do you want to be here with us?
Oh, I am looking to go into the future of agriculture. Sorry, agriculture area. I'm not exactly sure what, but probably in the communications or business, agribusiness side.
Great.
Wonderful.
But normally we ask if anybody has any questions or of Grace, or if you've seen her at the fair, or like comments.
Press. I wouldn't say she's an outstanding addition to the group. I've known the family for a long time. And I've seen her at the fair for years. They live in Castro Valley. They're very much involved. So
that's my dad over there. The rest is named Patrick.
We see him every week.
Welcome, Grace.
Okay, welcome.
Okay. That a motion? Yes.
Okay.
So that's a motion to recommend her to the Board of Supervisors for this position, and I would second it.
It was second already.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Yeah. Sorry, Chuck, you're asking up.
Ethan, third it.
Third it. Yeah, there we go.
So
all right.
She just seconded it.
Let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions?
Welcome.
Right. Unanimously. Very impressive that you know what you like to do and that you're making that difference in the agricultural committee community already. Mm-hmm. So at such a young age, bravo.
As you know, we still have the same vacancies we had before, but I'm working on it. I did promote this committee, and I love having the website with the application and our ordinance and the past minutes so that people can go there and I don't have to go look in my files and find them and forward them. Like I did once upon a time. But there is an East County, East of Livermore, what probably once started as a rural roads electronics, a group, a listserv group. And interesting, they have been watching our meetings, the East BZA meetings, and Alameda County Open Space Committee. And then they send the agenda out to one another. I didn't count it. It's got to be like over 50 people. So they have all received just this last week notice of these vacancies. I haven't had my phone has not been ringing off the hook, however, but at least that's another avenue that I had not tried before. And I still am planning to talk to folks that we know at East Bay Parks and possibly Hayward Hard. And I would say that on the other vacancies for ex officio, Veronica from Natural Resources Conservation Service, I hope is on the listserv, so she could have attended.
I did add her.
Oh, you did add her. So
when you requested,
So we from time to time we'll have somebody from USDA and NRCS participating, and. if anybody has an ag loan and would like me to call your banker to see about fulfilling that position, when this ag committee was structured originally, ag lending seemed to have been an issue that we felt was important to have as an advisor from time to time. And we did have someone at the beginning. He's still in the community, and I'm going to see if I can kind of nudge him a little bit more. But if you all have someone you'd like me to call, I'd be happy to. And that is my report.
Wonderful.
Just a quick note. I did reach out to Rex Warren.
Oh, good.
Rex Warren is very interested. Rex's family owns about 700 acres in Coeur d'Alene. His grandmother is the Garin family park. Very, very good guy. And Rex is in the process of filling out the app.
Oh, good.
And I did reach out to Dave Halbert to let him know.
Would he be in a cattle position?
Cattle.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what they do.
Okay. So, make sure I have his email address. I wasn't thinking he'd be interested because he's so involved with Castro Valley Math and all, but.
Yeah. So I was just speaking with the doors for him.
Good.
And he said he would like to do it, so.
Okay.
Great.
I will
get him his contact and
great
put you guys together.
He's probably on our list. I'll search for it. Thank you.
Yeah. If anyone else has any thoughts for people on our committee. All right. The advocacy outreach.
I didn't say that. All
righty, there you go. Oh, and we've got our ACRCD update that we'll hear in September. C, Land Use and Ag Enhancement Subcommittee. That is my subcommittee. I've been a little absent from my core subcommittee, but we have been working towards putting some priorities together for the application that was approved last meeting. And agritourism update from Tracy.
I just wanted to mention two things. One, thank you so much for the letters I did receive on behalf of applying for the Eco Farm Conference to come to the Tri Valley. So thank you, TBC. Thank you, Karen. Thanks to Carl, got it from there as well. So we had a nice, robust packet and bid proposal. And just so you know, Visit Tri Valley also puts sponsorship money towards these conferences to bring them here, because we see the importance of the ROI on 1,500 people coming in January for 4 days. That's a pretty no-brainer to understand that they're going to eat and drink and spend the night in hotels and also advocate for our great agricultural community. So thank you for those letters. And then it was so funny. I was on my way here today and all of a sudden came across my feed from Sunset Magazine. And the title was, "Are Animal-Focused Activities the Next Big Travel Trend?" Anyway, llamas on that. So alpacas or whatever. But so, of course, I'm reading this because I'm like, oh, who are they writing all about? And of course, it's about having experiences with, it's not just big tour companies, but can you get down there and hold on to a lamb? You know, can we get them to the new farm at the fair? But it's interesting because they talked all about Carmel Valley Ranches. Programs. And so anyway, just keeping that top of mind, we are going to be starting our new visitor's guide research to print out for 26. And I will continue to enhance that agricultural section that we added 2 years ago. That's it for me.
Thank you. Goller?
No, it's just
okay.
Equine has begun the process of scheduling our next meeting, tied up with personal issues of family matter.
Urban Ag?
No.
On the Equine, can I jump in on something?
Sure.
You bet.
National Valley Mac, next week on Monday night, we'll hear a conversation about whether equine facilities will be treated the same as other facilities for SDRs. Right now, equine facilities have to go through an SDR process, which is very costly. And so we're going to hear a proposal to not require SDRs. So SDRs are done when you do a site development review in the very beginning, and why you have to do an SDR 5 years or 10 years into your project again is a bit ridiculous and costly. And it's unfair to put that burden on horse facilities only. So that will be heard at the MAC next week. And I'll let you know what you out there with it.
You want testimony from horse people?
I would love to see your testimony from people. But
send me the link.
And I will recuse myself because I have a horse facility. But
we can discuss that. You can participate.
But anyway, that is going to happen. And we'll bring back an update to the committee here.
Right. Trails, and I do believe you have something else extra.
I do. On trails, we had a meeting yesterday, and we had guests. We had East Bay, we had City of Livermore. They gave us their maps. They're working on proposed projects and then one proposed project. You can't see this. And then one that there is funded gets close to Las Positas College, Las Colinas overpass, a little more. So what we are, I wanted this group to know, for collaborations, the group, we had LARPD there, who is working diligently with Department of Water Resources on our South Bay Aqueduct Trail. So that's in process. And we're going to meet with East Bay Regional Park District next week on the 28th. And trying to get a hand-holding collaboration on our four key projects that I've been talking about for a year. Tesla, the South Bay Aqueduct, Brushy Peak to Los Vaqueros, and Contra Costa County. And I wanted to share something really quick that I shared with the group. And it's a little bit water wonky, and I'm a water wonk. There's a project called the Delta, you'll know this, the Delta Conveyance Project of State of California Department of Water Resources. And this is on their website. Being a water wonk geek, I went on their website, and this is pretty new stuff. It's got all sorts of background about where the water comes from, and it comes to Harvey Banks pumping area, is lifted into Bethany Reservoir, and is gravity fed down the South Bay Aqueduct through the valley, through the vineyards. We've had tours, they're going to have more tours next year, and finally gets to Santa Clara County. There is a Delta Community Fund that is new with community-oriented projects with $200 million available. And so I called Department of Water Resources. They had a person to call, and the person called me back last week, and I asked me some questions, and ag and our trails along the SBA seems to qualify. They specifically talk and suggest haul roads and top of bank, and the Mountain House, Bethany Byron area, and Bethany Reservoir is literally up the hill, and is the first holding pond for our water that comes through the valley. 70 to 80% of it comes from Oroville through the Delta. So if you go on DWR website and look at it, anybody wants to, it's long, I won't bore you with it, but they have put us in touch with the consultants that are working with them. They want us to talk. So we're going to have a Zoom meeting also on the 28th next week. And I've invited to come along Mark Roberts, who was our facilitator in April at our meeting. Mark is a former city manager for City of Livermore, and now is working as a consultant for Livermore Area Park and Recreation, and doing our permit for the SBA with the DWR. He's perfect guy to do it to be on the call. So I will bring back a report next month, I assure you, on where we're going. We're excited about the funding opportunity, and I wanted to share with you how we've reached out a little, and hopefully we'll find a gold nugget.
Perfect. All right, and key in the water resource.
Just a couple of things. One is that along the canyon lands, a lot of the East Bay mud hydrants now have donuts on them, so that people cannot hook their meters up and get water as they need them. I ask for them to be removed because particularly in the fire season, a lot of these ranchers could run out picking the fire hose up and begin fighting a fire. I haven't gotten any answers. I understand that Zone 7 has asked for meters back for some of the ranchers. Larry, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, what has happened is California State has a requirement that there be backflow devices on the hydrants or on the meters coming from the hydrants. The deadline for water companies to take action on those backflow devices was the 1st of July. So what I was exposed to, my ranch uses water from hydrants, and it's a critical component of our operations. What I was exposed to was a letter from the water district, Livermore Public Works Water District, saying I could not get water in 2 more weeks. And then it was just cut off. My workers were out June 30th, not July 1st, June 30th, hooked up to the hydrant, and officials of the public works of the city of Livermore came out, took their hydrant right there, and didn't allow them to finish filling the truck. So we have a real problem in Alameda County now that should there be a severe drought that comes up at the end of the summer and into the fall, we will not be able to access those hydrants. We will have one hydrant with recycled water to access at Jack London Boulevard, and that will be the limit of it. So I've already spoke with Elka about the infrastructure that could exist with Zone 7, and not saying that Zone 7 is a solution, but it may be the case that the agricultural entity needs to look at developing a water district so that we can develop the backflow device strategy. There is a protocol. State of California has a recommended protocol for this. State of California has recommended devices that can be used. It's essentially a cookbook strategy for water districts to use. They just haven't done it. And
like an anti-siphon device that would fill from the top and
right,
like a water truck uses. So
it could be as simple as not having the water feed go into the tank,
right,
just having an air gap in the water feed. And so looking at the bigger picture, the holistic picture, it's a reflection of the status of agriculture in Alameda County that we wouldn't be notified and that there isn't a solution available to us. The solution is to go to another county, and right now, and there just isn't any other solution. I personally think it's the sort of issue that a podcast would be helpful to resolve, to be honest, because it's egregious. It's a horrible, horrible event. Anyway.
That's just a little hiccup that's going on right now. We need to probably get this resolved because so many farmers and ranchers do have hydrants and in the area where they can't go to the central location that they're given direction to. I mean, it's miles away. So
solution that was proposed by a staff member, staff for the water department was pretty darn good in terms of being understanding. They understood the significance. But I was advised to contact the city manager of the city of Livermore. And I can't imagine where that's going to go. But something we could consider is to have speakers from the city of Livermore and whatever other water districts, you know, are here to start discussing solutions. Solutions can be developed.
Chuck, as we work on this, don't forget that in the last drought, we had residents using the water tubs and picking up water.
Right.
This is not just an ag issue.
Yeah, you're right, Ken.
This is rural residences and horse facilities that use them.
Absolutely.
What we need to try to work with is maybe an agricultural meter that was only given to agricultural folks. Maybe that's a direction we could go with them, and maybe to prove that we have an anti-siphon device that would be on
whatever
the equipment. I mean, so there's ways, I think, for us to get there, but it's just right now it was a bit shocking when I got a call that said that an issue.
To put this in perspective, my meter's 3/4 inches in diameter. I could buy a backflow device, backflow valve, and hook it up to that for about $30. And you know, they want redundancy in the system. Well, that's easy. You put a backflow valve on one end and a backflow valve on the other end, and you have redundancy in the system. So
cost you $60.
Cost me $60. Yeah. So like I said, there are solutions. We should probably
just need to have some conversations. Zone 7 is very helpful. A lot of things. So we can how are they going to approach it without cutting off our ag folks? And East Bay Mud is not something somewhere they put the donuts on the hydrants. Takes a special tool to get them off, and fire trucks have them, but nobody else has them. So the hydrant isn't doing any good if you can't get the water out of it.
Does Zone 7 have any jurisdiction over the hydrants?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, but it's a water agency, and they could probably give us some help, putting something together that would be acceptable.
Send out your goons.
Send out the goons. It's interesting. I know that we even have accounts with the cities for some of our contractors to access the hydrants to do, like, watering our mitigation plantings and things like that. So now I'm worried that my consultants can't get water. I gotta look into that.
Welcome to agriculture.
Okay, that's Public Works. City Public Works.
Yeah.
And there's a brand new guy in Livermore, Water Public Works.
Hopefully, I get a more production for you.
Yeah, if I can help you out, Chuck, I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Number 10, agenda items suggest for future meetings.
Oh, I have a comment.
Like to open up item 8 for any public comment. Either in the room.
What item?
Number 8. Yeah. Brief subcommittee reports. I am going to close. And open 9. Wow, I really have to jump to the end. All right. Any committee member, ex officio, staff announcements?
I have one.
Excellent.
A couple of months ago, we had a presentation from Alameda County on their soil enforcement, dumping soil enforcement program. I noticed that in the East County Zoning Board of Adjustments in a hearing Thursday. There's 2 enforcement actions, I guess, to reconfirm enforcement actions of illegal dumping on Flynn Road and up in Mountain House, and the fines were $1,000 a day. So it's good to see that some action is actually happening.
Maybe. But
this is what East Bay Mud doing, though. That's not a problem.
It's a Zoom meeting if you'd like to attend.
Yeah.
We'll fix the minutes.
But I guess I would, just to add on to that, the one facility is on my road, and I would call that resculpting Flynn Road Hills. Ooh. I mean, we're up and above both, and I mean, they're very creative on how they're bringing in dirt, and it really is almost artistic.
Don't give them too much credit.
No, it's scary.
All right, any other announcements, comments, questions? There you go.
So just we're pretty excited. We are pouring the footings to the first wine cave to be built in Alameda County. In the last. We're starting the footings this week. It'll be an 8,000 square foot wine cave with a tasting room. And my goal is to have a Christmas party in there next Christmas. We're pretty excited about it.
Bring pictures.
Sorry?
As you
I have
bring
some pictures in my phone of the guys pouring the footings and the cement trucks coming in and out, and now they're putting the rebar they put a bed and then the rebar and then the more footings and then it's a cut and cover cave. So we'll build the cave in September and then we'll start covering it over the winter. And so it's a pretty exciting project.
Right.
Great.
Save the date if anybody's interested in attending our annual tourism event. It's usually a luncheon. This year it's going to be a breakfast on September 25th at the Firehouse Arts Center in Pleasanton. And it'll be from 8 to 10 a.m. And let me know. I will send out an invite so you can save the date and would love to have you all come.
8 a.m.
Yeah, it's early, but we serve breakfast.
All right.
Is there any way that we could get somebody from the emergency services to come and talk to us a little bit about fires and things like that right now? What evacuation plans would be? I know I live in the canyons and Coal Canyon, Palomares. There's many, many blank spots where they do not have cell reception, and I know we're working on some of it. But I know Contra Costa County has a bit of an animal evacuation plan where you can take your animals to. It's kind of a big thing in our county, and we're getting into the fire season. And I think it would behoove us to get a little bit of pressure on emergency services to talk to us about what's the plan. I had them at the MAC, and I will say there needs to be a real conversation from the agricultural committee on, where do you take your cattle? Where do you take your horses? I know the fairgrounds, we've worked with it in the past, but not many people know that. And, Contra Costa County has like an area and you have a tree and one guy calls this guy, that guy calls that guy.
Oh,
and pretty soon there's 15 trailers lined up ready to haul horses. And I just think that if we could get emergency services to come and talk to us a little bit about some of that, maybe we can share it with the community.
My committee last night talked a little bit. One of the people talked about visiting Cal Fire for similar reasons. One was trailer in because they cut new trails when they cut fire lines.
Right. It relates to the water infrastructure as well, and that there's discussion of developing a water system that sits at the urban wildlands interface, and it would be there for fire control, but it could be double over.
How about mapping ponds?
Yeah, agreed.
It's a good idea, Chuck.
Caltrans has a pretty good institutional memory on cattle ponds.
I know we really started it 3 years ago, but it didn't really go much further. And then I'd like to know a little bit more about Cal Fire and their mapping process, because I don't know if anybody said fire.
Man, we're still on item 9. These are great for item 10.
Fire insurance is quadrupled. I mean, you went 5,000 to 20,000 a year, in a lot of these places. So, and it's all done by a map that they call risk management.
Right.
So.
All right.
These are things that affect agriculture.
Yes. No, I 100% agree. So, Allie, it sounds like you're taking them down for Cal Fire as well as
a great item.
The response.
Yeah. OES, Cal Fire, maybe CFD, depending on where. I mean, Fairview has agricultural lands too. That's the Fairview Fire District. There's less layers in that, but I think a presentation would make a ton of sense.
And there's
Diablo Fire Safe Council as well.
Yeah, the Fire Safe Council is part of that.
Yeah. And I feel like, if I may suggest, I think our agenda for September is looking pretty full already, and this could be like an all-meeting topic, or maybe October.
All right, what are people doing in August?
Fire.
All right, I agree. If we have space in October, then that's when we'll do it. I will take public comments for item 9.
Yeah, on that last subject, we have been talking about some of those same issues at the SNOMAC, called Small Citizen Advisory Council, and they take up a lot of time. The question that I have, based on the urgency described by Chuck,
Can you wait till October? Or maybe it's because we're already past fire season. I don't know. But does this committee conduct special meetings outside of the regular meeting, I guess would be my question, because I know in Seoul we're we have Fox Canyon, we're probably 60% of our residents live, and so we're very worried about that, and we're working on solutions. And so, Charles, to your point, if there needs to be a separate meeting because there's not enough room in a meeting, might that be possible? Thank you.
And yeah, I guess the question for Allie is, I mean, if we need to convene a full meeting to have a presentation.
I mean, I think if the committee wanted to, you know, how this could happen, like maybe a presentation at a library that's open to anyone in the public, that would be an option. That wouldn't necessarily have to be a meeting of the AAC. And AAC members could attend it as long as you're not convening and talking about AAC business. It wouldn't be a Brown Act violation if everybody showed up to that.
That would be a topic that I think would interest other people too, like the RMAC, the SNOMAC, who, if you've not heard those speakers already, if we get them all collected together, then any of us in that arena that have a work general public education event, non-agendized.
I could talk to Supervisor Halbert's office about
maybe he would sponsor it.
Sponsoring something like that. I think
being
helpful.
Presented by the AAC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, hosted by and invite the other agencies.
Yeah, I like that idea. Getting all of Max together becomes a Brown Act issue. Please, I've been told that. Don't call other Macs about different things because it's a Brown Act.
If it's an open forum.
Yeah.
And East Bay Regional Park District has a fire chief and a fire chief. I think the county does. Yes.
Probably San Francisco.
I don't. I'm not that familiar with
it. I think that would be a service we could provide to the broader community if we hope could host a forum of common interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we would get Tim Hunt and the independent writer and TV30 can come and help film it.
Yeah, if you don't mind, to Richard's point, East Bay Regional Parks has the, to my, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe they're the only fire department that specifically has trained horse rescue. And we're really lucky to have East Bay Regional Parks cover Contra Costa and Alameda County for horse rescue, which is a very rare occurrence and a very dangerous occurrence.
Yes.
And but my understanding is they have the expertise right there. And so just want to add to Richard's, indeed, there is a fire department in East Bay Regional Parks, and indeed, they're the ones that help us horses if we're in trouble.
And the mutual aid between departments at fire and first responders usually is pretty tight. I believe it is in our county. They're tight. I've had the fire chief for Pleasant Livermore as a rotary speaker, and they talk about CAL FIRE and East Bay because the questions come up from the audience, and there's a lot of interest. And as I mentioned, my group last night, when fire breaks are built, particularly on park and public property, they instantly make it to a trail. Cheap. I love it. I mean, I don't like fires, but it's a logical consequence.
It's a tool that could be applied to North Florida.
All right. Well, it sounds like we're in consensus about
having fires.
A future event. So I will close 5-9 if there are no other public speakers. Okay, and I'm going to say we just covered item 10, which is agenda items suggested for future meetings. So if anyone has any other items just for future meetings, I will entertain it, but we'll be getting a presentation in the term. Sheila.
I think it's from Christina, but I will I will have the report from the last survey.
Wonderful. Okay, I will do a public comment on item 10. So I feel we covered it. I will close, and we are ready to adjourn. So
well done, Diane.
Have a nice day.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
So.